welcome. Open your hearts to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Can we all say amen? All right, because we have just short time for teaching, I'm going to go into the teaching right away. So I'm going to pick up from where I stopped last week, Tuesday. So when you are marking your diaries, you can understand where to continue from. I began the teaching on the Songs of Solomon last week, Tuesday, and I want to begin from there again today. Can we all say amen? Glory to God. So I began teaching on perfecting the love of God for reigning, and I began drawing understanding from the document, the book of the Song of Solomon, which I described as an everlasting eternal song for the perfection of the bride. So in scripture, when we say song, we don't necessarily mean music in the sense of singing. Song are rhythms of life in God. Rhythms of life in God. So David was a singer of songs, and we know that David's songs were actually revelations of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. What did I say David's songs were? So like I said, David's songs were songs of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were messianic songs. And David himself had songs that were also called songs of ascent. There were songs that were sung when you were climbing the mountain into the house of God. So David had a lot of songs that were sung concerning Zion, or the life that is in Zion. Of course, he sung more than that. David was also a man that had blueprint of the life of the Most Holy. But majority of his songs were Zion songs. So David sung a lot of songs of the sanctuary, the life of the sanctuary, or the life of the life of Zion. Can we all say amen? But Solomon moved further. Solomon moved into the garden of God, or into the Most Holy. So the Song of Solomon is a Most Holy song. What did I say the Song of Solomon is? It's a song of the bride. So, or is the song that reveals the revelation of Jesus concerning the perfection of the bride that will be joined eternally to the bridegroom and will reign forever. Can we all say amen? So Song of Solomon, like I said, is an everlasting eternal song of the Lamb and his bride. And it has wisdom concerning the love conversation between the bride and our Lord Jesus. In the book of Solomon, the bride there is a Shulamite. The word Shulamite represents the perfect one. So the Shulamite is the perfect bride, and the relationship within the king and the Shulamite is a prophetic portrait of the relationship within our Lord Jesus and his bride. Can we all say amen? I can't hear your amen. Glory to God. So within the bride are the workings of God's life, the strength of God's life, that makes her perfect. She is perfect because of the works of the bridegroom in her. The works of righteousness that has been perfected in her. Can you take me to Songs of Solomon chapter 6? Let's look at it again. I'm going to chapter 1 though, but let me just start from chapter 6 from verse 10, like I began last week. So we should look forth as the morning. So I declare the morning here is the bride that has come into our reign. This is the morning of God. We see that in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, chapter 2, to one of the churches, the churches in Thyatira. It was Jesus promised them the morning, known as the morning star. It's a crown of reward for a church that has been perfected in love. What did I say it is? A crown of what? Reward. It is a crown of reward. So the morning there is the morning of the eternal God, or the morning of the eternal Godhead. It is a crown for the bride. That is why she's a queen. She's a queen because she has a crown. And that crown is because she has finished perfecting the love of God. Can we all say amen? Amen. So the song of Solomon is a song of divine romance. It's a song of divine romance between the Lamb and the bride. The Lamb is also the king and the bridegroom. It's a divine romance. It's a song of love. It is the song of love. It is the revelation of the love of God being perfected in the bride. Glory to God. So you see that the whole Song of Solomon is a bridal discussion, is a bridal conversation between the lover and his beloved. I love this. Song of Solomon is the John of the Old Testament. Because the strength of John's epistle were in the love, revelation of the love of God that were in the epistles of John. So you understand that the Song of Solomon is the same thing as the epistles of John and the book of Revelation. And that's why I'm showing you a prophetic correlation between all these books in bringing out understanding concerning the making of the bride. Can we all say amen? So we she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible what? As an army with banners. I showed you this from Revelation 12. That the man child, when you say man child, the man child is actually the bride. What did I say the man child is? The man child is the perfect bride that will be caught up to God and his throne. Can we say amen? So inside the woman in the book of Revelation 12, we have the woman, we have the remnant of her seed, and then we have the man child. I can show you. So we have three churches in Revelation 12. We have the woman. The woman there is the church. We can call it the servants of God. Because the book of Revelation was written to servants. That meaning that if you are not a servant, that book will not be written to you. Another word for servant, using a bridal language, are daughters. You can call them virgins, king's virgins, or daughters of Jerusalem or daughters of Zion. So I want to show you three levels of church in Revelation 12. Are you with me? Yes, I hope you are with me. Can we say amen? Amen. Oftentimes when I come, a lot of people are still dragging to connect. Can we say amen? Amen. You should be connecting. Glory to God. So there are three churches. What did I say they are? In Revelation 12, we have the servants of our God. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. You are not saying amen. Amen. Then we have who? We have the brethren, the prophets. Then we have the full prophets. We have brethren, the prophets that keep the testimony of Jesus. They are the ones we see in verse 17. Then we have the bride or the man child. All right? So I said the man child is the bride. So we can call the servants of our God the king's daughters. Can we say amen? Amen. And the king's daughters are in stratas. All of the daughters are not the same. You have king's daughters. Can we say amen? Amen. That just have the word of God. Then you have king's daughters that have both the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Then you have the man child that has the book of prophecy. So you can see all these are there are seasons of journey on the making of the bride. So I'm trying to connect Revelation, Songs of Solomon, and the book of Psalms. I want you to see. So you can see the man child is the perfect bride. What did I say the man child is? You are not answering me, oh. Then we have the woman herself. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. So all the signs we see around the woman is because of the bride that is in her womb. And they are the same signs that we see in Songs of Solomon chapter 6. Glory to God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. We can see in Songs of Solomon chapter 6, she is as fair, clear as the sun. A woman clothed with the sun, the woman under her feet, she's as fair as the moon. She has a crown of 12 stars. Songs of Solomon chapter 6 verse 10 calls it awesome as an army with banners. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So all these are what the man child became in the womb of the woman. So the woman is a church that has the word of God. The remnant of a seed is a church that has the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Can we go to verse 17? I want you to see that before I go back to Songs of Solomon. Because I want to be connecting both. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right? And the dragon was wroth with the woman. So the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with what? The remnant of our seed. By this time, the woman had already been given an opportunity to be what? To be fed. When we look at Revelation, take me to Revelations, starting from verse 5, quickly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. So, you can see that the destiny of the man-child is that she should be a reigning bride. The scepter will be given to the man-child, meaning the scepter. The man-child is actually the bride.
Yes,
Pastor, are you with me, sir? The man-child is actually the bride because she has a rod of iron. The rod of iron is a ruling scepter. It's a signal of authority. The rod of iron is tied to the throne. You can't have a rod without throne. So you can see, it is a radical power of the throne. It is for ruling. So this man-child is actually the reigning bride. What did I call the man child? Glory to God. And the woman fled into the wilderness. So the woman is a virgin. Because just like Jesus Christ was gotten from a virgin, so if you're not a virgin, you can't give birth to the man child. So the first qualification of even becoming a bride is that you're a virgin. Can we say amen? So the woman is not just a virgin in the sanctuary, she's a virgin in the garden of God. What did I say the woman is? So you can be a virgin in the sanctuary because the activity of light in the sanctuary is supposed to make you a virgin. Who is a virgin? One that has become spiritual. When a soul becomes spiritual, the soul closes itself against the world. That soul is a virgin soul. A soul that has been cleansed from the filthiness of the world is a virgin soul. What 2 Corinthians chapter 7 calls filthiness of the flesh. So, but there is a woman that is a virgin in the garden of God. Songs of Solomon calls them daughters of Jerusalem. Isaiah 62 calls them daughters of Zion. They are virgins. So that woman is a virgin. I think Janet prophesied this. It's very important. So, you can't have a bride without the restoration of virgin churches. What did I say? So, how do you make a church virgin churches? Christ must be taught. The formation of Christ in the soul as your life is what you can call spiritually as a virgin. You are becoming a chaste virgin. Meaning that you are ready for courtship with the bridegroom. So you can't even court the bridegroom if you are not a virgin. So getting born again is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about virginity is a state where the soul has been set apart from the world. And that soul can respond to the what? Grooming of the bridegroom. So the bridegroom cannot groom you for to make you his queen if you are not a virgin. So you now see the reason why Christ must be taught. Why Paul did a walk with Gentile churches. Because those Gentile churches, even though they were saints, they were into harlotry. What is harlotry? Love of this world. What did I say is harlotry? So even though you are born again, sir, you still love guys. You know? You they do guys. Uh-huh. That's harlotry. So we are born again in our spirit, but our soul has not been made a virgin, a chaste virgin for our Lord Jesus. For him to nurture us and make us his bride. So you can now see, the first walk is for Christ to be taught and raise virgin churches. Glory to God. So the woman is a virgin church, and they are also called servants of God. So it means that you need a virgin soul to serve God. What is service there? Service there is obedience to commandments of God. You serve God when you're obeying his commandments. What did I say? When you begin to do the word of God or the law of God. Now, I've discovered both the word of God and the testimony of Jesus are laws. In certain places in scripture, the word of God is also the law of God. Huh? So, the calling of the virgin is to obey God's laws. Both the word of God that is law and the testimony of Jesus as his law. So you move from law to law. That is why they call my laws. Yes, so there is law that is the word of God. Are you with me? Yes, and there is law that is testimony of Jesus. So what virgins are focused on is to obey commandments, obey God's laws. Because God cannot cut covenants with you without his law. Covenants are built on the foundation of God's laws. So you cannot have covenant with God for God to give you his life without you obeying his laws. And so you cannot take God's laws if you have not set you apart. A Gentilic soul cannot obey God's laws. So the first thing for a Gentilic soul is to start obeying Christ. Can we say amen? So Christ is a subsidiary law of God in the sanctuary. It is like, it's an abstracted law from the law of God. How did they get the law of Christ? They measured, you know, the law of Christ is the measurement, is abstracted from God's law. They just reduced it for us so that we can start with it. So Christ's commandments are measured for us so that we can they can raise us to a place where we can enter the garden. So, man's first placement was garden. Meaning, garden. When God put you inside garden, God is saying that, okay, I want to nurture you with my laws. So, you cannot access God's laws until you enter into the garden. So, anything outside the garden is a prerequisite law. So, a prerequisite law is a preparatory law to prepare you for the actual law, which is the laws of God. So you can now see that the new covenant is actually the covenant of God. And it's a covenant that God has with fathers. So everything that the teaching of Christ does is just to prepare you. What does it mean to prepare you? To make you, to raise you to a state where you can access God's laws. Is to separate you from the love of this world so that you can begin to love God. So nobody can really say he's loving God. And the person is still loving this world. So for many of us, we have not really started loving God. I'm telling you the truth. We are still being prepared to love God. So you can now see why James called the old church adulteress. The old church. You know, James was a pragmatic pastor. He called them, because why? He says friendship with the world. Meaning they say add bobo. They add bobos. You know what I mean, bobo? They add guys. Huh? And if you're a if you're a lady, and if you're a guy, you have babes. So Paul, James called the whole church. He said, you are adulteresses. And why did he say? He said, friendship what? Friendship of the world. Friendship. What is friendship? Covenant. Agreement with the way of the world. Agreement with lust of the flesh. Are you with me? Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Is a kind of friendship. With that, something in you is an enemy of God. So the revelation of Christ is to break enmity. Christ, when you teach Christ, what are you doing? You are what are you doing, Pastor Onesimus? You are breaking enmity. What is the enemy of God inside us? We must be reconciling our soul to God. So Christ is a reconciler. When you teach Christ, you are helping a soul to begin to love God. So loving God is not an abstract thing. Loving God is not singing worship song and be crying. Eh? That is not exactly loving God. I'm not saying that is bad in itself. Ask what does it mean to love God? It's to love God's laws and to do it. That is loving God. Loving God has nothing to do with your emotion. Loving God is to love His word, His law, and to obey it. Loving God is to obey His righteousness. And God is saying, I will not reveal my righteousness to you until you obey a subsidiary one, which is the righteousness in Christ, which is supposed to turn you from darkness to light. So it means that it takes a lighted soul to love God. Huh? You know the way they put it in Acts 26, it says, to turn you from darkness to light. So Pastor Sinji, it means light is a state. Children of light are children of Christ. From darkness to light. Because in that same, in Ephesians, are you with me? He referred to them that you were sometimes darkness. He didn't say that you were sometimes in darkness. Take me to that scripture. I want you to see this very well. So when you learn Christ, they are changing you from a state called darkness and changing you to another state called light. It takes a light soul to do the will of God. When I say soul is has become light, it means your judgment is now what? Has been open. You what? That is what the Bible calls open face. In the devotional, we call it out of flesh. If you are following the devotional very well, it's called out of flesh or open face. So it means before your face is open, you have dark in understanding. And with dark in understanding, you cannot do the will of God. You can't obey God. So then we use revelation of Christ to remove your darkened understanding and give you what? Enlightened understanding. What did I say they will give you? So another word for enlightened understanding is open face. We all with an open face. Meaning if I don't have open face, I can't be Odin. I cannot even start learning what is in God. The heart is not ready for it. God does not see a tablet in my soul to write on. Glory to God. Are you with me? So take me back to that Ephesians. Let me not do justice there. Go up, verse 7. I want to pray. I'm praying for everyone that you will give yourself wholly to God this year. That's my own personal prayer because you don't have time. You are getting older every day. It's not even every year. This one that you're doing bad every year. It's every day you are getting older. Every second you are growing older. And you need to be able to match time with obedience to God. All right, thank you. So let no... Okay, verse 7. Because of time. So be not therefore partakers with them. For what? Ye were sometimes darkness. What did he say? He didn't say you were sometimes in darkness. So, this is it. This is hard for new creation reality people because the fact that you are born again, your spirit was translated, but your soul was still held conversations of darkness. So, this still covers for a soul that has not been enlightened. So, when Christ has not been taught, because in chapter 4, he says, he was talking about, you have not so learned Christ. So, the purpose of learning Christ is to move you from darkness. It's to move your soul from the kingdom of darkness. So when you get born again, your spirit is quickened, but your soul has not moved. What transits your soul is by walking. That's why walk in is more than 50 places in the epistle. Without walking, you can't change. What did I say? So how do you enter a kingdom? You walk out of one. You walk out of one. And you need light to walk. You now see the place of light, instructions of righteousness. Because if you are not walking, you are not changing. And never forget this. Walking is not coming to church. You need to come to church to hear what you walk in. But walking is to obey righteousness. What did I say walking is? Is to hear and to do. Eh? So walking is obedience. If you hear and you don't obey, you are not walking. You are playing. May you not play where light is being taught. So you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. See Bible. Look at it. Pastor, it didn't say you are light in God. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So start walking like Christ. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. So there are conversations of children of light. Eh? When you are a child of light, you have crucified the flesh and his affections. I'm showing you a virgin because I want you to get when you say somebody is a virgin. Take me to Galatians chapter 5, starting from verse 4. I labored that a lot last year. That was my labor last year. Eh? Now, before you get there, let me tie up Ephesians 5. Take me back, please. Glory to God. I can't hear you say amen. For you were sometimes darkness, but now what? You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So your conversation determines your dominion. Your walk in your conversation determines your dominion. Walk as children of light. Huh? For the fruit of the Spirit, you can see the same thing. It didn't say fruits of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5 is the same thing that Paul is referring here in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this is what I'm saying. This year, you must be particular about culturing of fruits. Because let me tell you, you don't have all the time to culture fruits. There is a time, I think mommy taught a message some years ago, after they dung you, do everything to you, and you're not growing, they can make you abandon project. God abandons project. Because we need to say this. God can do that. You can't take God to court. Once they have done everything for you to respond and you're not bearing fruits, they can leave you alone. So a Christian must understand that. That when God is investing in you, you are supposed to bear fruit. Can we say amen? Oh, I'm not getting your amen. Glory to God. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and what? Righteousness and truth. I like you on all goodness. Well, these are deep things. This is Colossians. Every good work. Yeah? In all goodness. Those are goodnesses of Christ. So you see, faith, hope, charity, what are they? All goodness. They are all good. Yeah? All goodness. And what? Righteousness and truth. Meaning what? The fruit of the Spirit. They are revelation of the righteousness of Christ. And they are also truth of Christ. Can we say amen? So when a soul has obeyed the truth of Christ, you will see it in the fruits that they are showing. Eh? Now, proving what is what? Acceptable. Look at this. Oh. Proving what is what? Acceptable unto the Lord. So meaning what is acceptable unto the Lord is when a soul has responded to learning of Christ and has become light. To become light is that you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. I call it fruit of spiritual life. It's called fruit. All of the fruit summarizes itself in love. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Proving what is acceptable. So you can see, the acceptable year should not pass over you without you having the fruit of the Spirit. Meaning when you are acceptable, you are a man that can offer unto the Lord an acceptable offering. It is not what you give God that he accepts. It is you that he accepts. And what God accepts is the fruits that you are giving him. Can we say amen? Because now you are bearing fruits according to the light that he has given you. Amen. I can hear you say amen. Take me back to Ephesians. All right? Look at verse 11. Thank you. And I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Look at this. Can we all say this together? You are not answering me. Oh. Say it again. Oh. Another one for works of darkness, works of the flesh. Have no fellowship, koinonia, communion. Have no fellowship. Because when they are teaching you Christ, you are supposed to break fellowship. Meaning, if I'm fellowship with somebody before, that we used to go and smoke or go to club, when I'm learning Christ, I should break fellowship with that person. Because there's no 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's no communion with light and darkness. No communion with Belial. And the children of God. No concord. And what concord at Christ with Belial? So it means that light should break concord. What did I say? So that when you are, because you need to be able to know this is, when you are learning light, some things, you become uncomfortable with some things. Some works of the flesh, you will find a lot of restraint. At times, you may even have done it, but you will not be able to, you will not be at peace. When you are not at peace, you see, when you do something and nothing checks you, it means you have not taught, you have not received the law yet. When you see some people, they don't do things, nothing checks, like you are lying per second billing, and no check that you are lying. You don't understand? That person is not yet even in the court. Because we need to know these things. But when you lie and you're not feeling okay, it means that your conscience is already responding to a light. Meaning you can't just go. If the longer you try, the more pressure the Holy Spirit puts on your conscience. So what happens to that soul is that soul, because the soul now knows that I will not be able to have communion with God if I don't repent, the soul will repent. You see, the reason why we can go long without turning away from some things is because we don't have light yet in that area. We have not submitted to a sufficient light to raise a standard for us. Can we all say amen? Amen. So when they have taught you well as a woman, when you talk to your husband anyhow, you go back and repent. Ew. You ask him, please, I'm sorry. Ew. When you start saying you are sorry, it means that now the light has become your law. Yes, sir. Because that's the purpose of light. You can, when light is not yet a law, that law, light cannot change you. Let me say that again because you need to understand this. That's in Isaiah chapter 8. When light is not yet your law, for some of us, light is not yet your law. How does light become your law? Constant hearing. Constant hearing. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you will have head and head, and faith is, when faith is being born, laws are being framed in you. Let me say that. When faith is being born, laws are being framed in you. So you'll not be able to do some things that begin to eat your conscience. And that's how they gradually strip you away from laws of the flesh and break communion with some things that you have had confidence in. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So you must be acceptable. So how am I acceptable? It means I have what? I've turned from darkness to light. So I have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. But rather reprove them. Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. When you do something bad and you feel ashamed, is a progress. That shame is a sign that God is already working in you. Because Gentiles don't feel bad when they do what they normally do. So when you're ashamed of what you have done, It means that there's already a work on already in you. It's not completed yet, but there's something that is going. Now, what you're supposed to do is that you have to allow the work to continue because you can abort it. How you can abort it is when you start adding your conscience against the work of the Spirit in you. Your heart must be regularly turned down. Anytime God confronts you, just change. Stop arguing. Stop shallying to Holy Ghost. Repent. Once you repent, you make your heart more sensitive to light. So they don't have to load you with so much light. It's just like, it's just small light will help you. You know what I'm talking about? When they have to soak you in light, is there something soaking light or soaking? When they have to soak you in light, it means that that nature has become tough and you cursed it. You gave the nature strength by yielding to it all the time. Listen to this. Don't always yield to what your flesh says. If you don't feel like praying, pray. If you don't feel like fasting, fast. You feel like breaking. It's not every time you feel like breaking that you break. Because 12 o'clock is your tick, tick, tock, tock, tock. By 12, your tummy is shouting, yeah, Mokbo! Yeah, you know what you're supposed to do? Tell yourself that I'm not going to break that day. Because there are days that you will not feel that way. Those days, try to do opposite of how you feel. You know what you are doing? You are weakening your old man. I don't know if I'm communicating or... Because some of us, you know what our problem is? We always do anything we feel. When your flesh say, do this, you do it. I say, Pastor, you don't understand. I have temptation to masturbate. Listen, you can't pray in the spirit and masturbate at the same time. Choose. I am telling you, I have pastored people that had masturbation problem. And I tell them initially, before you start gaining understanding, I say, when the urge enters you, I say, at that time, start praying like a madman. I say, start praying. I say, when you pray to a point, you have what I call, you are going to generate what I call spiritual power. That power will enter. I don't know if you know that when you pray for a while, after you tarry in prayer, what will happen to you? If you feel like sleeping before, what will happen? Sleep will go. If you are hungry before, what will happen? Hunger will go. Prayer actually generates some kind of anointing or power. Even for some of us that preach at times, anytime we preach, if you are sick at that time, sickness is suspended. Hunger is suspended. Tiredness is suspended. It's a kind of power. You know, anointing is a kind of power. So talk less of when you pray. When you pray, you generate power. Nobody is saying amen. I would rather pray than touch my body. I will pray, you understand? I will pray and pray and pray. And when I pray, so some of those people I pastored, they started seeing that they had power to resist it. It's not as hard as that. Eh? Satan said, do it. Go and pray. When you pray, you find strength. Those things are what demons cultured in us for years. Yes, masturbation, pornography. You know porno site. You know, there's a way your hand is always going. When you go online, you know, you see, this year you have to be very disciplined. Determined. If you know that you like porno, there's nothing you are doing with Android phone. Do it for 1 year. Go and shut down. You understand? I seize my daughter's phone. She doesn't have, I say, you are not going to have access to phone. It's one of the discipline. I felt that she, you know teenagers. Once you give them liberty, I say, see, no phone for you. I gave your brother phone SS2 second time. So the reason why I'm giving you is because I thought that maybe you can handle it. And I'm saying that you can't handle it. I take your phone away from you. So you don't deceive yourself that you're an adult. Somebody can take away phone from you. You have beer, but you're a child. Oh, Baraniyataba said that. You're a child. You know it. Sir, go and buy 15,000 naira phone. Go and buy it. You want to say, Pastor, what? They say, go and buy it and be using it. One thing that can help you for a while is to starve yourself on that thing for a long time. While you are starving it, you are growing. It's not like you are not starving. No. While you are starving, because you cannot do two things at the same time. While you are starving the you of that old habit, you are not developing strength. By the time you go back to the phone, it's not the same person that is going back to that phone. It's somebody that has for power, that has restraint. That's why at times there are some places you should not be going. Huh? You know that when you pass in front of this place, it's a brothel. You see prostitutes. Sir, if you need to go and drive 30 minutes again, I'm telling you some things. I know I'm talking to some people. You have to avoid. The Bible says, flee from what? You are not a damn alone. When you are fleeing, you are building yourself. Because you can't flee forever. There are some that will still pursue you. They will still set trap for you. Yes. But while you are fleeing, you are building yourself. Remember that the woman in Revelation said she fled to eat. So anytime you flee, what are you going to do? Go and chop. So you now go back to that same thing that used to mess you up. Now you're a stronger person. Hallelujah. Now let me just round up my talk. Give me back that Ephesians 5. I think I'm laboring around Christ. I want to show you what it means. Because our problem as Gentiles is the work of flesh. They really did a bad work inside the soul. Works of the flesh. So you cannot see Paul's labor. And Paul succeeded because by the time Book of Revelation comes, some of the Gentile churches entered the most holy. In fact, John was writing epistle, not to Hebrew church. The Johannine epistle were to Gentile churches. So it means they made progress. So I said you can make progress. You can break appointments with your old man. You can know what it means to what? To be spiritual. To be free. Meaning you are not bound under something. You are free. All right? If I want to do this, I can do it. You know? If I choose not to do it, I can choose it. Maybe I am watching football and I'm enjoying that football. There's nothing bad. At that point, Holy Ghost say move. And I move. Inside the match, I can twitch. At times I can be watching TV and my mind is not there. I'm just looking at it. Something inside me is already what? Responding to another reality.
Hallelujah.
It means whatever you are, nothing has power over you.
Amen.
I'm not getting total victory. I think in some areas God is helping me with food. God has really helped us. I told me and my wife, we are word food. You know, some kind of food, when they appear, you fall. You know what I'm talking about? When some kind of food appear, you just fall. You fall like a pack of cards. But you know what helped me? I was put on a strict diet. I eat leaf every morning. Initially, I didn't love it, you know? You see, let me tell you this. Before something becomes a delight, it must be a discipline. Well, you know what our problem is? We want something to first be a delight. It doesn't happen like that. Before you delight in something, you have to do it because you have to. The first revelation that dawned upon me was my health. I want to live long. And I know if I eat all kind of rubbish food, that's when you now be because as a man of God can be hypertensive, can be diabetic with your anointing. So I thought about it. Okay. If I continue this way, I might not live long. So I started gradually responding. It was not easy. I started responding gradually. So when they do the diet for me, I didn't used to like it, but I would just do it. But over a while, you know, up till now, now you can't give me any food for breakfast for me to eat. I hardly eat yam. I can't remember the last time I ate yam. For my age, daily yam is not good. Or bread, once in a while. I like, I love bread. Bread? No, I still cheat too. Up till now, I've not been totally free. But I've got it. If I look at where I'm coming from, Momon Timothy Bere. If you know where I'm coming from, I have journeyed, man. Even my wife would tell me something. I said, no, I can't do that again. I move. It means that food is no longer. You know, there was a time before I came to Ibadan, while I was in Lagos, my mom has a chemist shop. She also has, you know, some provisions, and she sells. I used to drink mineral every day. I don't even know Mountain Dew. Momu shege se Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew every day, sometimes 3 times a day. Yes, sir. You know, because it's like food is not complete without it. Because it's inside the shop. Just go and call it and take it. We'll tell mommy that just open book for me. When I have money, I clear my debts. I love that Mountain Dew. I don't really like Coke. I'm not a Coke person. Maybe Fanta or Sprite. But Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew was like they designed it for me. Sir, I drank Mountain Dew. Me too, I know. Then, because in the house, they just cook once a day. I think they just cook morning and evening. Okay, twice. Then again, Indomie. Then there's this Indomie they used to sell. Indomie was also, there's another one they sell, Chiki Chiki. I don't even know Chiki Chiki. You know, it was plenty. I'm telling you, this was my past life. I will do that Chiki Chiki, it will be plenty. You know, when you do Chiki Chiki like 3, you now put egg, then Mountain Dew. That was it, though. That was a normal thing. Normal. So I can tell you, you need. So this is it. It's gradual journey. Judgment began to come. Light began to come concerning feeding well. It was not easy. So when we got married, me and mom started doing exercise. We started exercise almost the first year we got married, but we didn't change our diet then. We still used to eat. We eat rice like crazy. My wife can eat rice 3 times a day. Me, it's beans I like. You two have joined. It's beans, me, I like beans, but that beans, oh yeah. Ever say red beans? Oh, Kai, then Dodo. I will suck Dodo inside. So when you are carrying beans, it's not just beans alone. So after 1 year of marriage, sir, I became times two. Because I must eat dodo. I mean, you don't know what dodo is. I would say dodo. I hate dodo. That's why when you don't have money to buy dodo, it's good for you. Go shock me. Oh, Rora dodo. Oh, yeah, go shock me. Dodo was cheap in that time. So I used to eat dodo. They are even selling it outside the street. When we are coming from work, we just buy the dodo. So it was gradually. So I'm talking about a journey of 18 years. Because some of you think you will overcome the flesh. You just sleep and flesh go. Flesh don't they go like that. You will obey commandments. You will do disciplines that you don't like, but you have to do. Then after a while, you start delighting in it. You start loving it. You start loving that thing that you wonder, why am I loving salad? I just love salad for breakfast. In fact, my stomach cannot take every breakfast. So maybe occasionally I can take, if I take yam, it will be as if I'm so heavy. I will not be light to do my normal activity. So I normally like light breakfast. It's because my system has now, so that discipline has now become a delight. It's become part of me. So, when light becomes a law, it is already becoming part of your nature. It takes time to develop habits. When you say something is an habit, I like it, habit. Habitual, habitat, habitation. So the purpose of laws is to give you what? An habitation. So light laws habitation. What did I say? So they will give you light. The purpose of that light is to give you a law. The purpose of law is to raise an habitation. I know that I look at my father. My father has an habit. He wakes up early in the morning. I've known him almost all my life. As in, if daddy does not wake up, latest by 5:30, you have something is wrong with him. It will clock 79 this year. It still does it. The last 2 weeks I still went home and I slept home. I saw he still woke up early in the morning. And I look at it, you know, I'm almost 50. So imagine knowing somebody develop an habit for almost 50 years. So it's possible to culture habits. So you can love God. You can love people. When the laws of God has cultured an habitation in you, you cannot do some things. The only thing you can give somebody is love. You can't give hate because you don't have hate. There's no habitat of hate inside you. Nobody is saying amen. That's why you have to submit yourself to date. One of the things we must have breakthrough this year, listen, is consistent yielding to God's commandments. Because you don't have all the time, every day, daily prayers, daily meditation of the word, daily studying of the word, listening to messages, meditating on commandments of God, and doing them. Many of us, we don't see that we do God's commandments. We don't see to it that we obey the instructions they give us. All those things, you know what they are culturing in you? An habitation. You are developing a new habit. You just feel that after a while, you cannot stop doing some things. Was it 2 years ago? We went to the UK, myself and mommy, and we were walking. We walked from, you know, the house, the lodge in one of the house of the brethren there. And we walked to most places. We want to go and buy things. The distance is like walking from, I don't know, how can I say, walking from Pastor K's house to all those TK Maxx and train station, that Romford train station. That's like walking from here to like Total Garden. And we will walk it and walk it back. And it was normal. So by the time we get home, we are already about maybe 10,000, over 10,000 steps, 14,000 steps. Like, so they'll be looking, let's carry you. Say, it was as if, let's carry, let's help you, let's lift you. He said, no, for us, you know, we're not trying to be humble. It was our normal life. We don't know. So all those daily work we used to do in Bodija, we'll be walking. We didn't know that it was not just about walking or losing weight. It's about developing something becomes a nature. So all that work, you know, you are walking under the sun here. So, oh God, there's no sun there. Walking sweet. There was no sun. So walking. Before I even sweat, I'll have walked more than I walked here. So I was not feeling it. When I walk here, I'll be feeling pain in my leg. When I walk there, there was no damage to massage my leg. And I was fine. And I say, okay, so all these things that we are doing, if some of the brethren say, Pastor Dimitri is fit. That's what they were saying. So if if you obey commandment in harsh condition, when you get to some zones, you'll be a champion. You'll be a champion. People will wonder, how are you doing it? So I'm showing you the power of daily command, daily obedience. That's what I know. Amen. The Lord changed my message today, but I think I wanted to. Am I reaching you this evening? Daily obedience. You have to be determined about this. Stop saying I'm weak. I don't know what's happening to me. This flesh, there's no flesh that is as strong as you think. There's no flesh that is as strong as you think. There's no flesh that is as strong as you think. And that applies to some of you that are fat and you need to lose weight. Stop telling yourself that there's nothing you can do. If not, God forbid. You can't continue like that. You can't continue. If you want to drop weight, start dropping weight now. From now, stop. Go home, clear some things away. Because you know that they die small, sir. It's not easy to lose weight. At times you gain, you lose. Like one day I got angry. That's why I got angry. I said, I can't continue like this. I will lose weight more again. But I was not hypertensive. I'm not diabetic. I just felt that I needed to lose more weight. It was just a decision. And I started. Instead of feeling helpless, I'm talking to you. So I don't know what I do. I don't know why I'm going through this. I can't help myself. Who told you cannot help yourself? Why do you have the Holy Spirit inside you? God vacated one of the Trinity. One of them. There are three. the dashing one. You now say you are helpless. What kind of helpless? And the person inside you is an helper. You now say you are helpless. I don't understand you. Three out of the God that they gave you one. And that one they gave you is an helper. You now say you are helpless. Or God, you are lying. You are not helpless. You are only lacking understanding of how to cooperate with him. Nobody saying amen to me. So let me just round up. Amen. So all things that are what reproved are made manifest by light. Look at that. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So this is where light becomes life. All right? Before light becomes life, they will give you light as a commandment. When you now obey the commandment, that light now becomes your life. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So when they say you are light, it means that you have, take me to Galatians chapter 5. It means that you have crucified your, let's start. Let me just do Galatians a little bit. Let me just stay here. Amen. So we are talking virgins now. So God wants virgins. What did I say God wants? Because without virgins, Jesus cannot have raw material to make his bride. There's nobody can. His commandments cannot be spoken to people that still love the world. One leg in, one leg out. You can be doing one leg in, you know. If you are doing one leg in, one leg out, you can't understand anything concerning everlasting life. You cannot understand the desire that Jesus wants to love you. And you now becoming a vessel of his love. That the highest thing that can happen for you is to be... I mean, for a lady, if marriage is a big thing to you, and every lady, marriage is a big deal for them, wearing their garment, all that kind of stuff, it's a big deal. All right? I think it's religion that makes somebody not beautiful on their wedding day. Crazy religion. Amen. I mean, what? You are ugly on your wedding day. I don't understand you. I'm not saying that you have to break your bank, you know. But you have to be, I mean, you look good based on how much you can look good. On your wedding day, I can't understand. You put only powder on your face. What's wrong with you? Sober. You are sober on your wedding day. What are you sober for? Are you not going to have sex? After wedding day, you enter your room and be praying. You pray revival. Oh! What's that woman that used to watch in Willows? That lady that we used to watch in Willows. Give me territory. So why did you marry when you want territory? Only yeah. You want to ascend? Why did you marry when you know you want to ascend? Hallelujah. So you should be, if you are looking well physically on your wedding day, then think about it. Think about your commitment to becoming ready for the Lord. Every soul should be committed to that. Your worst nightmare, as a Christian, is that you are not ready. That's your worst nightmare. That you are not being adorned for Jesus Christ. It should be something that you cannot even imagine. That you never pray should happen to you. Have you ever had dreams where you find yourself half naked? Maybe you're just wearing only boxer. A singlet. Or where you're not properly. I mean, I think one I had many years. I was walking in a main road and I was wearing boxer and singlet. And I was trying to look for where I can get clothes. And everybody did not even notice. And I noticed that everybody had all kind of terrible clothes. People were, but me, I was conscious at least that I was naked. I was talking, some people, what's it about me? People were living normal life. I was looking for where can I get clothes? How can I? Can't, this is a little bojumu. You know that state is a good state. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's you are groaning to be clothed. Because you know that you cannot appear before God the way you are. Amen. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So we're in that season when the Lord wants us to be particular about our dawning. All right? So look at Galatians chapter 5. Let me go up to verse 19. So my labor is that becoming light, turning from darkness to light, is conversion from flesh to becoming spiritual, so that you can attract our Lord Jesus Christ to begin to groom you, to make you a bride. So now the works of the flesh are made manifest, and these are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, or sorcery. Witchcraft is not just all this. Witchcraft is, I've told you, is stubbornness, is rebellion. All right? So when you are stubborn and you are rebellious, you're actually practicing witchcraft. Believe me, because you need to know when you are stubbornness. Stubbornness is that they are telling you the same thing and you keep doing it. Rebellion, you don't care. You know, some of you, some people can just get to the point that they don't even care. They don't send. You see, as a pastor, when you get to that point, that we'll talk to you and you have come, you are now bold. You know, when you still fear your leaders, it's a good sign that you can change. When you cannot fear your leaders anymore, that you can even boldly confront them and tell them that they should go away, then there's not really much you can do than to pray for that person. And this is the prayer I will pray for you, that God will break you. You don't pray any other prayer for that kind of person, that they need breaking from God. That kind of person, they don't need to fall upon the rock. The rock needs to crush them. And you have the crushing experience. That thing I'm praying is actually salvation also. But that's the only remedy for that kind of soul. Because very soon, Proverbs 29 can happen to you. You know Proverbs 29? I like the Yoruba version. How many of you don't know? You don't know Proverbs 29, verse 1. No. That being often reproved, Aden and what? Aden says, shall suddenly be what? And that without remedy. My brother opened his mouth. You need to know every serious Christian must know this scripture. That you can get to a point where you can be hardened, and that you are not yielded to correction. So what it means is that God will set you up for what I call a divine breaking. So at times when some Christians have some major break points in their lives, it may be things like this, that the only thing God can do to you is to just break you. Have you seen some people that they did not want to answer the call to ministry? God did everything to them. They didn't answer. God just said, okay, if I come out your leg, you don't go anywhere. So a lot of people answer call to ministry on which year? Yes, now. Which year? They kept running. When they remove your leg, nowhere to run. They slow you down. You can't run again. You will preach the gospel. God is a man of war. I'm telling some of you, that I'm getting the time of the dealing of God in your life. Don't play with God, though. If God chooses to act on you, in breaking you, nobody can plead for you. Nobody can plead for you. And I perceive that some of you are in a cycle. You are in a cycle, and you have stayed in that cycle for a very long time. You're always begging God to give you another chance. And God has given you more than enough chance. This year, no more chance. I'm telling you the truth. This year, no more chance. This year, the Lord is going to judge Edom. The Lord is going to deal with Edom. The Lord will be fierce with the flesh. So there's no more chance this year. You see, that thing that you are keeping, and you're saying, give me chance. What is this? That there's no more chance this year. That thing is going to disgrace you. You know what I mean? Something disgrace you. You know, we respond to disgrace rather than instruction. Hello. You are not answering me again. You know, God is very merciful. God can keep covering you up for a long time, hoping that you will change. And then giving you light. As God is covering up for you, He's giving you understanding, giving you everything to change. When you are insistent and they want to help you, they disgrace you. You know what they call disgrace? They remove grace. Then you are left alone. Actually, that is good, because all of a sudden you will not find out that. You know, some of us, it's not fear of God that causes us to repent. That should be the major thing to repent. I fear God. It is what will people say? And God doesn't want you to operate from that realm, but that is what works for some people. You understand? And that is where you get to a point where God can't reach you anymore. Before God allows somebody to get to that point, Holy Ghost will have been talking to you, giving you chances, instruct you, do this for the heart. But everything God does is to save your soul, including when He disgraces you. You know those disgrace? Where it's like grace goes. Just like Samson. Disgrace. You know what disgrace was? They have been telling him, he no agree. You understand? Until the day that Delilah clay hair come out. So the Philistines came. Normally, if this is coming, you can trust an operation of God. When you know God to a point, or you have enjoyed the dimension of God, you almost know you will enjoy when you pray, God will answer you. When you fast, He will answer you. When you cry to God and say you are sorry, God will show you mercy. So Samson, like normal, Philistines are coming. He rose up like he would rise. And he found out that today, grace has been removed. You know, you lie some lie, you ask mercy, then we'll expose you. You know, you have been lying. And when you lie, you say, God, I'm sorry, I will not lie again. God say, okay, I won't disgrace you. Change. And then you have been doing it. They are becoming, one day you will lie. They will remove grace. They will now take up the lie. You know those kind of lie that they take up. Maybe it's in your office. They just put you on the spot. Then all of a sudden you are sweating. You know what God is telling you? Time up. I perceive in my spirit that for some of us, we have come around such zones. The Lord has given you enough light and understanding for you to turn away from that darkness. You have everything. And I perceive in my spirit that even the teaching today is actually meant for you. Just to help your heart to understand the responsibility to begin to walk in the commandments of God. You have to be responsible. May God strengthen our hearts. But this year, the Lord will be fierce against the flesh. Amen. You know, go and listen to the crossover message. Yeah. This year will be flesh. There's a season coming upon the earth. The Lord does not want flesh anymore because of the times. He doesn't want us to be, you know, Matthew 24. He said, woe to you when you have a suckling child because of tribulation that will come upon the earth. You can't keep remaining a child. You have to quickly ascend out of the earth. So that's why the Lord will be a little bit tougher with us this year.
Hallelujah.
The Lord will be tougher with us. So all those normal, you know, way you spare, you know, when you have a short time to raise a child and prepare a child for hard life, you know, you can't be telling the child to face naughty corner. It's going to take a long time. You need pankere. So I just noticed that there will be a lot of short work in righteousness.
Amen.
God will be a lot of short work in righteousness. There will be a lot of crash program. For many of us, crash programs. Things that will have to make you change. You cannot but want to change because you have entered for some of you, it will be your consistent challenges with your finances. And you know that the reason why you're having those problems with finances is not because you are not sowing. You know, finances don't sow, I will reap. No, you can't sow. You are sowing money, but you are walking in the flesh.
Yes.
No, you can't do that. It is with keeping the laws of God.
Yes, sir.
So you are sowing, and you have already mastered it. You sow, and you know you will get back. Mm-hmm. But you know you are still keeping agag.
Yes,
there are things that you are still fellowshipping in. God says, no, you can't do that.
Yes,
so even the finances, I'm going to block it. I'm going to lock it. So when you start having some deep financial need, and you pray, and the Lord tells you that, the problem is not that you are not sowing. No. Eh? You have sin in your... You are spending some, you know, you are still kissing some nature, and you are keeping it. Eh? And the Lord says the time to cast out the bondwoman and her child is now. I'm not going to lose anything for you. There's no open heaven until you change. So as I said, this year is a major transition year. 2026 is a major transition year. God wants many to transit into the garden. Many. Or prepare them to want to transit. Particularly if you have been a Christian for a while. Maybe you have been a Christian within the last 10 years. Even if you have been a Christian within the last 6-7 years, the Lord still wants to walk quickly on you because of the times that are coming upon the earth. Say, I'm still young. You are not young. If you're a Christian for 7 years, when I got born again as a teenager, God immediately moved me into wilderness. Less than 1 year. The training was a quick training. Because God needed to prepare me for a generation. And now looking way back, now why did I have to go through so much as a young Christian? And I know that God had to do that because I have to be raised. By the time I was 19, 20, I'd already become someone that could pastor many. Right? 18, 17, 18, 19. But there was intense training. When I look at the intensity, that's why I show that at times God can put 10-year training in 1 year. God can do it. I can tell you what God did in my life between 97 and the 2000. Those 3 years were like 20 years. Looking back now, a lot of training. A lot of training. A lot of dealing. Because looking now, I know that God was already looking at a generation. And if you are not well prepared, you can't. The purpose of God would have been in delay. You know that at times there can be delays based on your ill preparation. That there can be delays for the program of God. Things that God wants to do in your life of your children, God can't do it. Because in your first years of marriage, you were struggling. Normally, your children are supposed to come and meet certain kind of atmosphere in the home. Imagine children growing up and never seeing their parent quarrel. Not because they were acting. They never did that. There's something that has happened to those child. But for you, to beat that out is a lot of training. They have to crush you. Now, possibly that your son is a major instrument in God's hand. And the training of that child is going to be within a short time. Maybe at the age of 15, there's certain things that child should be doing. So sometimes you don't understand that your disobedience can delay the program of God. Some of you don't understand. Some of you, as it is now, is money you are thinking of. You want to make money. You think money is your problem. So let me tell you this. If you pursue money, you won't get it. And if you get it, it will be a snare. I'm telling you now, I'm speaking to you as your prophet.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you are here, you are hearing me. And if you are hearing me and it's money you are chasing, I pity you. And that you're not concerned about your state first. And that you just want money by either by means of, what do they call it? Either by hook or by crook. I want to disappoint you this year because this year, you know, during the bridge service, I told you, I said this year is going to be a reaping for some people.
Yes, sir.
So some of you, this is your year of reaping because you have been sowing in tears. And God has opened a book of remembrance for you. Your cry has never gone unnoticed. Your cry of obeying God, of subduing the flesh. You are six in a room. You are always the one doing the commandments. Tell your body, the thing ends on you. You don't argue. You keep doing it. This is your year of remembrance.
Amen.
God is going to open a favor for you, is that you come into a certain level of relationship with God that is permanent.
Amen.
I won't lie to you. There are things that God has given me. I have had it for years. It has become my nature. God has blessed me. So I operate in certain dimensions of favor based on obedience. It's also the same. You have been sowing in tears in your finances. You're always setting apart to give. Not thinking of yourself first. You have entered into your year of remembrance. So for some people, this is their year of remembrance. For some people, you will sow your seed. Because you don't have seed in the ground, you cannot reap anything. So why some people are reaping, some people will be sowing in tears. Now the issue is that you have to learn quickly. When you see people that have already started operating in the dimension of God's favor based on years of obedience, quickly learn. What are you learning? God is real. Obedience works. I can tell you, obedience works. And that person cannot share certain things. You know, just like the wise and foolish virgin. Sir, you want to share the dividend of my obedience. You know what I'll tell you? Go and obey God. It's not like I won't share with you. I will share some things with you. but you will need seed. For some of you, you don't have seed in the ground. You have been eating your seed. You have been eating your seed. You know, when I look at it, even as an assembly, let me round up. Yeah, why did I preach like this today? You know, as a church, we have had opportunities or breakthrough. This church, since it started, there's always an opportunity to give. I know people that have been used those carrier types. They are not where they are. That's just the truth. 12 years. They are not where they are, I can tell you. This thing is nice. No magic inside. God will always bring opportunity. Meetings. Let's so. You know, there will just be general assignment. General announcement. Let's so. We need this. You know, another one came this weekend. Some people did not hear. You don't hear things like that. They want to give seed. You understand? When the instruction came, even me, I give my own. Because I want God to bless me. Some people hear that kind of thing, they'll be eating chukum. Don't see that the Lord hear. You do deaf and dumb. You think God will say, don't fear the Lord. So, God is not going to say, don't fear the Lord. It will come like normal thing. So, you know, look at people that have been taking advantage of all those kind of opportunities to sow, to give, to sow, to give. The thing has now piled up as an harvest for them. You now find out that why is this person operating in a dimension of grace? It is because of obedience. If you like, eat your seed this year. Be chopping it. You will come into a season where even brethren love cannot help you. You don't understand? If brethren are giving you, brethren are showing love, give you this, you will know that thing cannot help you. You too, you will know that there's something that is lacking in my life. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Say, Pastor, I don't have seed. No, you have seed. Listen, look at me. Everybody has seed. It's not priority. For some people, seed is more important than them eating. And God will take it as a sacrifice. For some people, seed is more important than data. Some people, they don't play with data. For some people, seed is more important than transport money. You think God will look at that sacrifice and throw it away? It's not possible. Everybody has a seed. I discovered that. If you say you don't have a seed, you are eating your seed. And you have to ask God for mercy. Because you know what is mercy? I'm rounding up. What did I say? You're not answering me. Oh. God showing you your seed. Your seed that is in finances. Your seed in time. Your seed in skill. Throw out last year, you didn't learn anything. Look at what did you learn last year? What skill did you gain? What? You just think that things will just open. Did you add anything to your skill set? What did you add? No seed. You need so at all. But God gave you time. Time was your seed. Did you sow time? Sir, you were sleeping in the afternoon. You don't say, I don't have money. You can't have money now. How can you have money? So, Jalili. So, what seed? Time. For some of you, time was your seed. For some of you, your seed was that you were living it with people and you had no responsibility. It was like, it was a seed. But you never saw that as an opportunity. Right? Maybe you were living with brethren, so you didn't have opportunity to. No responsibility for clothing. All those things were supplied. So you didn't see a seed in that opportunity. What is seed? Service. I don't have money. I don't have this, but I can serve. Then I am sowing service like a crazy person. You don't have money. You cannot walk. You cannot serve. Sir, you are eating your seed. I'm showing you what eating your seed is. You just ate your seed. God gave you opportunity to sow. You didn't do anything. You are not praying. This year will be my year of breakthrough. Sir, you can't have any breakthrough. The breakthrough is that God will show you what? Your seed. Then you now start what? Sowing. And how do you sow? You sow in tears. There's nobody that is sowing that is laughing. You sow in tears. When you are sowing love in tears, you know, maybe for you, you are taking bread in your house. It's sowing now. If I don't have bread in my house, you understand? I have more to spare. But for you, you have never, God has always sent bread into your house. That's part of your sowing. You are going to reap. For some of you, you are going to have ounces you never paid for. Amen. Oh, so some people that can say amen. Amen. I said, you're going to have ounces you never paid for.
Amen.
Some of you have cars you never paid for.
Amen.
You're just going to come. Opportunities. Some of you, they will put you in businesses just to be on the board.
Amen.
You'll be collecting royalty. Yes, your presence is just what they want.
Amen.
God knows how to reward. They say, I do bread and light. Let's do also. Say, me, I know they do light. You are eating your seed. Because I'm showing you how many areas people eat seed. People are eating seed. Reke, one Jesse, the one. And they are looking for harvest. They said, develop yourself spiritually as a sister. Be growing. You are praying for a brother up and down. You are trying to look for a brother. When you know that you are not near anything that a man can marry. If you enter into the life of a man now, what are you going to add to that man? Ask yourself. Your seed sowing time is working on yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's to be sincere that, see, daddy, if I marry now, I will bring headache instead of help. You know, the Bible says that the woman is supposed to be what? Help me. But me, I will be what? Help me. Me, I will be what? So, my seed sowing is that I will work on myself. I will yield to instruction. I will grow myself. I will love brethren. I will serve people. I will become better. That's your seed. When you are sowing your seed, you don't need to pray. God will bring a man for you. All this, I pray. Have you been praying your prayer, marital prayer? I will also sit in all the Lord. Are you praying your marital prayer? Begin to pray your marital prayer. No need to pray your marital prayer. Sow seed. Sow your life in learning God. God will look for a choice son of God to give you. stop eating your seed. Stop eating your seed. If you have an opportunity to walk with somebody, walk with that person well, and you are sowing seed. God can consider you giving you a company in the future. Do it like unto the Lord. Many of us are not faithful. You're not. It's better that you don't serve than be an unfaithful servant. If you know you cannot serve, keep your service. One terrible disaster is to be an unfaithful servant. You are serving, but we say that. Eh? You say that you are serving high service. Because when you are doing high service, you are not sowing. You know? That's another thing. You are just tilling the ground. Oh, near any seed, the cocoa. You are not sowing. Now, I prefer somebody that is not serving. That's somebody that is serving and is not serving well. Because I know in scripture, most of the problems were people that did not serve well. It's better you don't serve at all. We know God knows your case, that is what we'll go. But you are not serving and not serving well. You are coming to church with ill motive. Eh? You are coming to meetings. It's something else you are looking for. You can't be doing all those kinds. You are playing dangerous games. Eh? It's not all your heart. You are coming to meetings. Your heart is not to get God. You have other things in mind. Oh God, you're not saying anything. No. You are wasting time. If that's how you lived last year, you wasted last year. Eh? You are serving God. But it's not with the intention of knowing God and becoming like the Son. It's with other things are there. Sir, don't play games with God. If you want to serve God, serve Him. If you want to love the world, go and love the world. Don't play games with God. For us, for many of us, I perceive in my spirit, God wants us to take opportunity of this year and start sowing our seeds. Hosea chapter 10. Let's just stop here. The Lord took my message completely away. I couldn't teach Songs of Solomon. That's what I wanted to teach. Because I noticed that some people, they are bold to do the same mistake. Have you ever seen God fight someone? One of the things I fear, anytime prophecies are given to me, I go with my knees in prayers. Because I fear God. The fact that God prophesies something does not mean it to come to pass. It is conditional. It is conditional on my obedience. And some of us will be doing the same things we used to do, and we hope that something will change. Oh, then, man. You can't play with God like that. You have to turn to God with penitence of heart. You have to look at some of the things that God has been telling you to work on, and you are committed to doing it. God is telling you something, and you are not serious with it. Eh? God is not your mate, here you know. That should be the most important thing. God will tell you something. It's not the most important thing in your heart. You'll not be telling God that you need money. You want to marry. God is saying that this is what I'm pointing out in your life that you must work on. That should be your goal for that year. You know what I said? If God say work on your anger, for instance, you should not have any other thing you're working on. You should not be looking for any other thing. Yes. God say work on anger. You are looking for a brother. They should slap. Oh, you can't know any. God say work on your anger. God said, work on issues of your heart. Yes, that should just be your assignment for that year. God, there's nothing else to work on. This is our project for this year. So by February, you put it away. You don't start looking for other things. Some of us don't know how God is. Don't play with God's kindness and God's mercy. Don't play with it. If God is kind to you and showing you mercy, it's because he's trying to give you everything that you need to change. You know, this is the beginning of the year, so that this year does not become like last year. Because when it's new year, people have new hopes. You just have new hope. Just because it's new year, new hopes. I'm going to say, yeah, you. And then you have preachers say, this year, sir. I know they tell you that kind of thing. This year it shall be possible. Possible as of now. As of now. Eh? As of now. Eh? So you know, you have to sow. God himself loves process. There's nothing about God. God is not against nature, growth. God says, as the earth remains, seed time and harvest time will not cease. The only thing that grew one day died the same day. It was a tree over Jonah's head. God is a God of process. If God loves you, he will teach you process.
Hallelujah.
If God gives you something without process, it's not supposed to make you neglect process. It's supposed to make you go back and now learn process. You have something without process. You have to say, ah, okay. No, that should give you sense that you don't want that thing. You're not going to sit down and learn the process. You know that God just showed you mercy. Normally, you don't qualify. You know, that's what we do in church. You know, we even clap songs around it. You show me mercy. I don't deserve it. Yes, I know you don't deserve it. And then they are showing you mercy. The next thing is that you now go and take time to learn of his ways. I don't continue like that. God gave you mercy, gave you a good brother. You know you don't want that brother. You're a bad girl. That's mercy. Eh? It's possible. You know what you're supposed to go and do? You're going to start working on yourself. Because you know that if you don't change that bad nature, oh, my daddy. Oh, lefi perfume bo. It's going to come out. Eh? I'm telling you. So we're supposed to sow. Eh? How are we supposed to sow? Sow in righteousness. So why did they attach righteousness to sowing, Pastor? That's how you sow. You sow according to righteousness. You sow in righteousness. Eh? Righteousness must be revealed for you to sow. And your sowing must be done according to righteousness. Then you know you reap in mercy. Eh? Then he says, break up your fallow ground. This is where I'm going. Break up your fallow ground. Eh? For it is what? Time to seek the Lord. So when you are breaking up fallow ground, eh, you are telling God that you are ready to sow. Then he says, till he come and what? Rain righteousness upon you. So that God will now bring rain upon that seed that you have sown. So that the seed can now germinate and become an harvest. May God grant us grace. Let us begin to talk to God. Let us begin to talk to God.
Words has spirit. Words has life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.